Any better? Yeah, okay. So MrMarksClassroom.com, and I have a video tip every Monday with a craft or something you can do in your class, and just really lots and lots of ideas that you can look up. If you would like to join the free post that just emails you, you can get your phone out, and you can actually, like sending a text to, and you put the numbers in, 66866, and you text my name, Mark. And then it prompts you, and you will have joined the community. There's about 6,000 people. And so at the top, instead of a name, you'll just put 66866, and then in the message, put Mark, and send it, and it'll join. Or you can just go online, MrMarksClassroom.com, and join that way too. So, and by the way, I just have to mention to you that Oklahoma City Thunder are playing the Rockets right now, and the Thunder are ahead, as my dad is keeping me posted. And so, anyway, he said, "You're kidding, you're in Houston?" I said, "Yep, down here with James Harden." And so he says that the score is OKC is 112 to Rockets 98. We know who will win. So, okay, I know, since you're all preschool teachers, how things can be for you. So I've written a little song for you that maybe will help minister to you, because you need some ministry. Are you ready? It goes like this. I've got a little cold, so bear with me. Here we go. She was driving on a Sunday, studying her lesson on the way to the church that day. She barged in the door of the resource room, grabbing anything they could play. 5 centers to go, and she was running low on ideas and caffeine. It's been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind, and she didn't pay attention. She was going way too fast. She opened up the door and turned on the lights. Her room was totally trashed. And 2 little guys with fire in their eyes jumped to her surprise. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. "Jesus, I need a peel." Okay. That's my favorite part. "Put it in my hands. Save me from these demon kids. I'm letting go. I've got him in a chokehold. 'Cause he made me pee my pants." That's funny right there too. "Save me from this kid named Chance. Jesus, I need a pill." Did it minister to you? Did you say a kill? No, a pill. Oh, yeah, you might need a pill. Oh my goodness. So fun. I want to talk to y'all tonight about being a difference maker. As you are building these relationships with boys and girls, what is it that they need from you that you would be able to connect with them? That you'd be able to see that relationship start growing immediately. And I want to give you the seven keys to building relationships that you can use with the children. It may be that you're actually teaching the littlest ones, or you're teaching the oldest preschoolers, but all of these will be a huge help. And in many ways, this is going to be a huge help as you're even reaching out to parents. How will I connect with parents? These 7 things will really be a huge influence. The first one is to be heard and understood. To be heard and understood. Did everyone get the handout by chance? Does anybody need the handout? Brianna, I'll give you one. A couple right down here. Because I tried to put some of the notes on there for you. So we'll let her do that. Thank you, Brianna, for doing that. A couple right here. Anybody else need it? All right. To be heard and understood. So think back in your own life. Who is someone that listened to you? I bet if you think back, it might have been, I don't know, your mother, grandmother. It seems like the ladies in our lives have this more down than the guys. But you knew you had their attention. And since they were listening, you even gave them all the extra details that maybe you didn't always give because you really wanted it to have, you had somebody's attention. They were listening to you. Children are used to hearing people say, later, don't bother me. Can't you see I'm busy? You need to wait. Those type of things are the voices that they hear most often. And so I want to encourage you, what would it look like in your classroom if you listened? If you were the one who gave them your attention and you listened to them. Children have adults who want to give them advice, who want to guide them, who want to teach them, but they don't have people who are listening. And I want to encourage you to listen to their feelings. Think about this. When I welcome children into my classroom, I greet them at the door. I prefer that my door be locked and a little sign that says, knock, and a teacher will come. I'm that teacher. And so, anyway, and parents don't get it. They don't understand. They'll even say, your door's locked. It's like, yeah, the sign says, knock, and a teacher will come. Your door's locked. And it's like, It's because knock and a teacher will come. You know, it's all safe in here. And I had a dad that was bringing his daughter a guest for the first time, and he wanted to come into the room. And I said, and I had to step into him and say, no, you can't come in this room. This room is with these children and safe teachers. You'll have to come back and I'll show you the room. And he said, I want to see where my daughter's going to be. I said, well, you can look through the window or you can come back after class when there's no children here and I can show you everything that we're learning. But right now, no adults can come in here. And he's like, all right. I mean, he liked that I wasn't going to let him or anyone else. So adults do really good. They all learn. You just have to tell them, line up, knock, I'll come to the door. And they'll do it. So anyway, I squat down and I hold on to the door facing because I fall. So I hold on to the door facing and I open the door and I sing a little song. I have a good friend, Blake is his name. I'm going to use Blake's name. Blake is his name. And Blake comes in. I say something to the parents, and I hold him at the door with the door shutting, and I talk to him. Blake, I'm so glad you're here today. Today we have planned this, 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 and this. What do you think you would like to do first? And then he can get started with what it is that he wants to do first. Sometimes they don't know what they want to do first, and I'll say, well, why don't you go shop and look around, see what you think you might want to do first. And maybe we'll even walk together and do that. But I let him have the choice. Now, some children come in. Now, that's in a great situation. They come in, you introduce, they get started. It's kind of a Montessori method of the teacher at the door. And you're having a moment to understand where you're at, get grounded so you're ready to learn. And so the teacher plays a big part of conveying the temperature of our class, what we're doing, the excitement of being there, dealing with any issues. So you have a child that comes in who's crying, you can work with that. You have a child that comes in that's holding back or a little bit too exuberant, and so you can work with that before they get started. And a lot of times, after being consistent about this, the kids come in and they have something to tell me immediately. That is a great time to listen. Right then, because in that moment of listening, I've connected to their heart because I'm their teacher. They look forward because they know I'm going to listen. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Look for and try this out. I put them on here. Listen to their feelings. Listen to their feelings. The next one is don't interrupt. The next one is repeat back. And you know, sometimes I notice that children get stuck in their story trying to tell whatever's next. And I just repeat what they just said and they finish the sentence when I do that. And the next one is eye contact. I bet you knew that already. That eye contact is great. My granddaughter, she just turned 3, but she was 2, and I was holding her, and I was washing my coffee cup out. I was washing it in the sink, holding her, and she said to me, "Today, Poppy, we could go and do. And I said, "That'd be fine. I'd like to do that. That'd be good." And I was washing that out. And she said it again, "Poppy, today we could go and do, we can go and do," you know, she said again. And I said, "Yeah," I said, "that's fine with me." And so I was trying to get that on with one hand. I was trying to do it, you know. And then finally she reached up and grabbed my face, pulled it over. She said, "Poppy, you know, today we could go and do and go and do." And I was like, "Yes, that's fine with me." It was the same answer. She needed eye contact. Like, my ears weren't working because my eyes weren't connecting. And so we'll have that trouble with our children as well. They're not sure you heard them because you weren't looking at them. All right, let me give you a good example of when not listening can lead to dramatic behavior. I had Grant in my class, and it was a pre-K class, and it was my first day. No one told me about Grant. That's why they were afraid I wouldn't teach, because everybody else had quit. And so I said, I just, you know, I didn't care anyway. And so we did everything. I transitioned them. They were new to me. You know, I get a lot of Miss Mark. And it's like, "Well, it's Mr. Mark." They're like, "Miss Mark." And it's like, "Well, they've never had a Mr. yet. It's Mr. Mark." That's what the word Mr. is. It's the man, Mr. Okay, Miss Mark. And so anyway, so I'm having some of that going on. And so Grant is in the circle. We're having our group time. We've already had our conversation. We've had our music. We're going toward the story, and I start leading in the story. I know y'all know how to have a group time. I won't walk through that. But I was telling the story. I love to tell the story. I love it. That's one of my favorite parts of teaching, is telling the Bible story. So I'm telling the Bible story, and Grant says, "Well, I had," and he had something to say, and I said, "Grant, just a minute, let me finish the story." And so I went on with the story. He did not like that answer. And so the only thing Grant could do was turn to the boy next to him and hit him in the face. I mean, the only reasonable thing left to do. And so I was mortified. I couldn't believe that he did it. Of course, everybody's looking at Grant now and not me. And so my wife comes up and she's like, "Oh my gosh," she's trying to make this all better. And I even said, "Grant, we never hit. That's terrible." And so then we go back to the story. Go on with the story. I get right back in the story, and I'm using lots of drama trying to draw their attention back. And then he just does the only thing he could do, is turn to this girl and smack her. Well, that hurt. It hurt a lot. And so we had to stop again and deal with that. I got Grant, and I pulled him over and made him sit in the chair, or sit in the floor next to me, because he was terrorizing everyone. And we're going to finish the story, goodness. And so I went on with the story, just going to tell the story. Listen to me. So I'm telling the story. Grant starts banging his head against the wall. Of course, all the eyes look at Grant. So I pick him up, I set him on my lap, and tell the story. And then with his cowboy boots, he goes, boom, and kicks me in the shins. And I turned his legs and finished the story, Grant. Oh, man, it was horrible. And whenever I survived that whole thing, it's a wonder all of us even survived it, I realized he wanted to say something, and I didn't listen. And I know he had done poorly, and I also had done poorly too. And getting to know him made a big difference, made a huge difference. And I was able to really connect with him and make a difference later. But I really remembered to listen. Some of the behavior issues you have may be that you're not listening. They just give up. So they start acting out because they don't have a teacher that'll listen to them. That's my point. So be careful that you do that. And look, I put a couple of verses. We want to be heard by God. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. Psalm 77, 1 and 2. We want to be heard by God, don't we? We know. We have the confidence that God hears our prayers when we pray. And then the next is that God wants us to hear him. We need to listen to God. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Isaiah 55, 3. So listen to God. And I'm going to encourage you to be in the Word. You should be reading the Word, feeding your own heart. I have learned, and if y'all have any kind of a commute, I encourage you, that I have read through the Bible the last 2 years, or better yet, I've had the Bible read to me the last 2 years chronologically, which is kind of fun. But on the YouVersion app, you can pick a Bible reading plan. I just picked chronological, and then you calls up the day, and you can tell him to read. And he reads it. He pronounces all the names correctly. It's great. You're like, oh, that's how you say that name. It's wonderful. And it's a new habit for me to start. And I get to hear the Word every day as I'm making my commute. It's a 40-minute drive, so it's perfect. And it only takes about 10 or 15 minutes. All right. The next one, number two, is to be affirmed. To be affirmed. It's when someone says to you, good job, way to go, I love the way you did that. Affirmation is powerful. And when your children hear you say affirming things, they want so badly to be drawn in to hear more of that, to be able to capture more. We all desire to be affirmed and to believe that someone approves of who we are and what we do. Even you now could think back in your own life, people who gave you affirmation that made you wanted to try harder, to go farther, to do it, someone who believed in you. And when we're young, these people represent God's love to us, that they affirm us. Now I'm going to give you a story. My youngest daughter, Gracie. Gracie is 15 now, and she was finishing middle school, and she had decided that she was going to be a high school cheerleader this year. Well, I hate that, because we've already had a high school cheerleader. She's a senior this year. It's awful, and two cheerleaders should come with a loan officer. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. A hair bow for $15. And I picked it up and went, what is so big about that? You know, it's just, I just don't get it. And so we have gone to our last national championship. It was last weekend. We didn't win. Good. I don't even care. Let's be done with it. So I just hated the fact that she was giving up band to do cheerleading because she's so talented. She plays the baritone. It's such a beautiful sound. She's so amazing. And so this year when she started high school, she went over to the high school to meet the teacher night. And as she went around, she decided she wanted to meet the new band teacher, even though she wasn't going to be in band, because she tried out and she's going to be in cheer. That's settled, whatever. And so she goes over to meet the band teacher, and the band teacher says, she introduced herself, they shake hands, and she said, he said, well, what do you play, Gracie? And she said, well, I play the baritone, but I'm not going to be in band this year. And she said, he said, it's you. You're the baritone player. Oh, my goodness, I will always have a place for you in my band. Mr. Mangus, the previous band teacher, told me all about you, how great you are. I just want you to know it'd be great to have you in the band if you ever change your mind. You remember that, okay? And she said, okay. And she went out, and they got in the car, and she said, Mr. Mangus said I was good? And I could have reached through the phone and choked that man. If he had said that to her last year, that she was good, she wouldn't have given up. She would have gone on. Gracie quit cheer and went back to band because of the affirmation that she heard. It was powerful. I made her call the coach and quit before she even started. They hadn't even started yet. But I told her she had to be the one to tell the coach, not me. It was hard, but it was all because of the teacher's affirmation. We have to realize how powerful that is when we speak it to children. So let me go on and give you a little bit here. Children lack affirmation, and they need it so badly, or they won't try new things. And you know what? Sunday school is a place where you can risk. You can try new things. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I even try things in Sunday school and preschool. It's like, I don't know. Y'all think if I put this like this, it'll work? And they'll go, no, Mr. Mark, it'll make a big... No, let's try it. I don't think so. Well, and we do, and it doesn't. You know, it's a place where we can say, let's try together. Let's do some things. And they can take more risk. And some children are going to come in, and they are going to be fearful about things. But that's okay, because they can try things with your affirmation. Affirmation tells us that you're doing well and to keep it up. The next one is to be blessed. To be blessed. Affirmations are what you do. Being blessed, blessed is being loved for who you are. So it's not what you do, it's just who you are. And so in the last class, you heard me say that I tell my children, I love you, I hope you have a happy day. I'll often tell them they're special to me. I love you, you're special to me. I hope you have a happy day. And so they need to hear someone bless them that way. Now, I have to tell you, and I have on here, consider your kids or your workers and love them at all times. We need to give an unstoppable love to all of them. They need to know that they're special to each of us. The scripture here is Matthew 3:17, and it's at Jesus' baptism. And God is our example on blessing a child. And so he says here, this is my son whom I love, in him I'm well pleased. Now that's at Jesus' baptism. Do y'all remember that? He came up out of the water, and the voice from heaven said, this is my son in whom I love, in him I'm well pleased. You need to remember the fact, though, that the baptism, Jesus' baptism, was the beginning of his ministry. Up till his baptism, he had not done anything yet. There have been no miracles. There have been no moments that we associate with Jesus, like feeding the 5,000 or the wine, the water into wine. I mean, that hadn't happened yet. His baptism and then his ministry started. So he hadn't done anything, and God said, this is my son, whom I love. In him I'm well pleased. We should say, sounds a lot like, I love you, you're special to me, doesn't it? So we should speak that. So I have to tell you, I was taking my sons to school. They were fourth grade, Zach, and Wes was in the second grade, so we're headed over to the second grade. Now they get in the pickup, and we turn on the radio, we always did, and we're singing, we're singers. And we're on our way to school, and Wes is in the front seat, Zach is in the back. We get over near the school, and I say to Wes, I love you, I hope you have a happy day. That's kind of a pattern with me. And so I said, he didn't say anything. I thought, well, it's too soon. So we got over to the school, and we joined the line, you know, the one that wraps around the city. The drop-off line, that thing, it's huge. And so we get in the line, we start ooching up a little bit at a time. It gets to the playground, you got to wrap around the block. You get up a little closer, a little closer, a little closer. We get to the driveway. Now, when you get in the drive, you're like locked in. You can't go anywhere till it's all over. And so we get in the drive, we ooch up a little bit at a time. And so I say to Wes again, I love you. I hope you have a happy day. Nothing. I move up in line. I said, Wes, did you hear me? I said, I love you. I hope you have a happy day. Nothing. We move up in line. I said, did you hear me? I said, I love you. Nothing. I move up in line. Wes, I am talking to you. Did you hear me? I said, I love you. Nothing. He just took his seatbelt off. He put his backpack on. He got out, shut the door, just rolled the window down. Said, did you hear me? I said, I love you. He's looking at me. He starts walking a little faster. I move up in line. I love you. And so he starts running. I go under the portico honking the horn.
I love you!
Screaming it out the window. He is running full speed until he gets in the building and he shuts the door. Everyone's watching. Big commotion. And so he goes in the door and he looks back out the window at me like, my dad has gone bonkers. And so I saw him smile and I thought, oh, my job's done. And so I start to roll up the window and I start to pull away, like, done. And so, and then I hear a voice in the back seat say, Dad, don't do me. Fourth graders, they have more, you know, image. So we get over to the fourth grade school, and I pull up, and I said, Zach, I love you. I hope, I love you too. He didn't want anything to get out of control. Oh, it's so much fun. I remember it like yesterday. So I have to tell you, because I'm very excited, but we actually got to make it into a book, into an I Love You book. And so it's the drop-off line scene all over, honking the horn, screaming I love you. And so anyway, I brought a few copies. All the proceeds go to help fund adoption. But anyway, if you want them, Brianna's got some in the bag. But it's lots and lots of fun. Preschoolers love to read because they know the I love you part. They say that with you. So I want you to have that kind of a love for your kids and bless them. The next one is to be safe. To be safe. When you feel safe, then you have freedom and confidence to explore and take risks. Now, feeling safe is kind of a big deal. Let's think about what it feels like for us as adults to feel safe. One is material security. That's the first blank. Material security. And that means we have food, we have a home, a place to be, to live. That we have money, that we know we've got. Maybe it's a savings account. You don't feel safe unless you know you have an emergency fund ready to help if there was a spare tire or something. You know, then you feel safe and you have peace. All right. Another one is spiritual security. We need to know that God keeps his promises and that he won't pull the rug out from under us. And you know as well as I, as you are continuing in your faith journey, God's faithfulness is so often. It's all the time God shows himself faithful and he shows that he will always be there for us. So we get security from him. The last one is emotional security. We need reliable people around us who love us, people that we can count on that that will be there for us. Now listen, this never was more true than last May when a tornado hit our house and we were in the cellar. And when we came out, we're like, oh, there's debris everywhere. Somebody's house is all over my yard. And it was my bedroom was all over the yard. And so we had no idea. We never lived through such a disaster. And we could still live in part of our house, but wow, what a mess. And do you know the next day, at crack of dawn, friends, people that love us came to us. And they cleaned everything up. They carried out all the soggy furniture. They carried out the carpet that was all wet. And it was cleaned up. Matter of fact, the rescue people came through to just make sure every house. And they were like, we had no idea you were even hit. Because it was the back of the house. Because everything was so clean. We even went and picked up the neighbor's yard. All of their debris and stuff. And it really rang true to me what it feels like to be safe and secure with people who love you and are around you. And so we do that for people, and we do that for these children. Now, let me give you a safety thing for children. Now, I was teaching. It's always during the story. I was telling the story. And as I was telling the story, a wasp came into our room. I don't even know where he came from. But he just buzzed down across the middle of our circle and buzzed back up. And it was almost like slow motion. I was talking and looked at it, and it came. And about right here, this girl went berserk, went, lost it, berserk, and to the point I looked at her then, and then everybody else did, and believed her that we would all die. Just in that quick, we're all dying, you know, death is now. And everyone started screaming. I was even a little scared because all the screaming. And oh my gosh, it makes my head itch. And so anyway, I remember the moment so well. And I just, who even knows what the Bible says at that point? I mean, we just don't know what the story was. And so I did the only thing I think to do, and I just got a magazine, I think it was my teacher book, and I rolled it up and went after Mr. Wasp, like with a vengeance, and killed him dead, and then scooped up the carcass with the teacher book and presented it to the children. It became like a nature lesson. And we looked at it because they're like such little wings, you know. I mean, it really became like that. And then we took it, like they followed me over procession. And we dumped it in the trash. And everybody got paper and we wadded it up and we buried him in there. Then we went back and sat down and kind of talked about it for a moment. And then we went back to the story. I mean, like we weren't done, so we needed to finish. But, you know, when there is a fear moment, it's not safe. We have to figure it out. We have to work on that. And so you are going to build great relationships with children if they know you're keeping them safe, if it's safe. Matter of fact, parents, it's the only thing you can reason with a belligerent parent about is safety. There is no argument. I don't know. Do y'all have any cranky mamas and daddies? And so, I had a lady, Mrs. Andrews. That's all I'm going to say. Mrs. Andrews, who did not like whatever happened on the church bus that morning. And she was very frightening. And so, I was sitting on stage during the worship service. That's the old days when you had to sit on the stage. And so, I was sitting on the stage. And she walked in the back door and opened the door and leaned in. And she pointed right at me like that. And the music minister sitting next to me went, like, scooted away from me. Like, way to have my back, man. And so I got up and walked out. And she was irate. She was so mad. And I simply just said, well, they'll never be able to do that because it's unsafe. They're going to get hurt. They're going to get seriously hurt, have stitches. There's going to be something serious happen if they do that. I'm not going to let any child do that. I'm going to make sure your children are safe. And she said, well, good. You make sure they're safe. I was like, well, it's your kid. And but she was fine with that. Okay, make them safe. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was fearing for my own safety right there. But you can always appeal to safety. You know, it's just the way it's going to be. I'm sorry it doesn't fit into your entitlements, but we're going to keep it safe. So, okay, that's probably more than you wanted to know. The next one is number 5, to be touched, to be touched. And you might, I almost can hear your thoughts going, well, listen, we don't touch kids. You know, we don't have any of that touching. Well, there's inappropriate touch, and there's appropriate touch. If a baby is crying, what do? You pick him up and hold him. You comfort him. Matter of fact, research says skin-to-skin comfort is the most comforting. I think that's probably why we hold hands at funerals and such. We just need to know that that person's there with us. We need that. It starts when... God gave us 2 forms of expressing touch, and I am talking about the correct touch. And now, you're going to have children who are going to want to hug you. They love you. You love them. There's appropriate ways to show that, and I encourage you to do that. And so, be very, very careful that it could never be misplaced in any other way. But are we clear about that? Touch is fine, and you need to love them. All right, the next one is to be chosen, to be chosen. Let me just say about touch, I was at the First Baptist Church and it was a very formal church. They didn't hug. They didn't anything. They dressed really beautifully, and there were lots of rules. I mean, there's just it was hard for me. And so, anyway, I broke rules. I didn't even mean to. I crossed my legs on the stage. You know, it was hard. And so we had a new pastor come in, and he was a cowboy type, and he wore boots with his suits, and he hugged everybody. It didn't matter. He just hugged. He was a big man too. Like, he was tall. He was big. He just hugged you. He just hugged everybody. Hugged them. Then you get up and preach like, and you're like, it was like, I said, I know what you're doing to us. He said, what am I doing? I said, that's like you're fathering us. You like love us, and then you discipline us like that with the word. And I said, I know what you're doing. And he said, okay, whatever. And he even hugged the bank president and his wife, who was like put together perfectly. I mean, he did. And then he made us reach across the aisles and hold hands to pray. All the touching. And you know what? And the ice broke. And people started having friendships and relationships that just were so formal before, and that finally melted away. He blessed us so much. And it's all because he was being so loving and hugging. I just tell you, it's important. All right, now I'm ready to tell you number six, and that is to be chosen. It's wonderful to be chosen. It makes you feel special. Being chosen is powerful. It's very powerful. It starts when you're young. It's like being picked for a team or asked to a play or to the prom. It's even adults being picked for a club. It's like a significant job, to be picked for a significant job. I mean, it feels good to be chosen for something. Am I right? Chosen is powerful. So when you use chosen language in your room, you are bringing something new. For instance, when Grant had his moment with me, I mean, that day was so off the cuff for me. I couldn't believe. I felt like a total fail. And then I thought, that's it. Grant needs me. I'm giving him everything. And so other people have ran. I'm not. And the next Sunday when he came, you know what I'm talking about, kicking Grant. When he came, I opened the door and I said, Grant, I'm so glad you're in my class. And I hugged him. And he like was, I mean, no one had ever said that before. I said, I'm so glad you're in my class. And then I told him I loved him, that he's special to me. And then the next week he came, I said, oh, Grant, I'm so glad you're in my class. And I said it again and again and again and again. When I left that church to go and serve at the church I am now, he was kindergarten. Yep, he was first grade then. And a couple of years later, we went to camp, and it happened to be that his church was at camp the same time we were there. And I was on one side of this bridge, and he was on the other, and I heard him scream across the campground, Mr. Mark! And he ran the whole distance with his arms out. And I was even like, who is that? Who is that? And I was just like, somebody's coming. And so, and when he got close to me, because he had changed a couple of years, they look a little different. And so I hugged him, and I was like, yes, yes. And so, you know, and finally I could see his face, and it was Grant. Oh, my goodness. Who knew after over and over and over of loving him and choosing him to be in my class, would it have been that powerful? It's powerful. So let me give you a personal example. I mean, if that wasn't personal enough. The other blanks there, because I know some of you wouldn't be able to sleep tonight if your blanks weren't filled. So when you are not chosen, you develop feelings of, I'm not enough. I'm not lovable. I'm not as good as others. Jesus chose all of us. I was at children's camp this year, and I was just with my little group of boys. You know, it's a big group that we take, and so I just, every sponsor's got a little group. We're doing the activities, and we had finished, and one of the staffers that was working, they hire a lot of college students, and I said, what's your name? His name's Token. I said, well, that's really unique, and he kind of gave me a story, and I said, so where do you go to school? And he told me, and a little bit more about all that, and I said, well, is that where you're from? And he said, yeah, that's where he grew up. And I said, well, that's really cool. So tell me, is your family still live there? And he said, I don't have any family. I said, well, no, wait, wait a second. Like, your dad. And he said, well, I've never known my dad. This 20-year-old kid, he's worked 2 years at camp. He said, I've never known my dad. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I really am sorry to hear that. And he said, it's okay. I'm okay. I said, well, what about your mom? And he said, well, my mom died. I said, what happened? Well, now my kids are done. And I'm like, well, go on, because I've got to hear this. And so anyway, he said, well, she had cancer, and she really was hoping to live long enough to see me graduate high school. And I said, oh, my goodness, please tell me that she did. And he said, she did, but she died in July after that. I said, I'm so sorry. I really am. So do you, I mean, what about like siblings, or I'm looking for any family, you know, any siblings? And he said, well, I have a little sister, but as soon as the funeral was over, I have an aunt in eastern Arkansas that took her, and I've never seen her, talk to her since. I said, so you don't have anybody? He said, it's okay. It's fine. I said, no, it's not. What are you going to do? Do you live in the dorm? He said, yeah, I just live in the dorm and go to school. I said, but what about like when camp is over, are you just going to stay here until school starts? And he said, no, the BCM director said I could sleep on the couch at the BCM until the dorm opened. I said, well, you just seem to have everything worked out. He said, it's okay. It's okay. And I said, well, like what about Christmas? Like, where did you go for Christmas? And he said, well, my pastor invited me to his house, so I went there and said, well, that was really nice. He said, it was really nice. I said, I just can't believe you don't have anybody. He said, it's okay. It's really fine. And I stood up and said, well, I choose you. He said, what? I said, I mean it. I choose you. I choose you. You come be in our family. I choose you. He said, I don't know. And I said, I do. And I was just crying, and he was crying. And I hugged him. And I said, I know this is really creepy. And I said, but I mean it. I so mean this. I choose you. You come and be my son. And he said, well, I don't know what to say. I said, say you'll think about it. And he said, okay. So then I obviously had to go call my wife. So I went and called her and said, honey, well, you won't believe the most incredible thing. She was like, what? And so anyway, I said, y'all need to come down here and meet him. And so she and my two daughters, I have two daughters still at home. So we have two boys and then two girls. And so our daughters came with her. And she told me on the way, she called me and she said, I told the girls, they're all crying, they're a mess. I don't know what we're going to do when we get there. And they got there, and Kaylee said, I can't take my glasses off, my sunglasses off, and so whatever. But we all talked, and we ended up spending 4th of July together, and then we went on vacation together. And he said, we went to Gulf Shores, and he said, I just need you to know I've never been on vacation. I said, it's pretty great, isn't it? And so he went with me to hear me speak. He didn't know what a conference was. And so I said, well, I don't care. It's a preschool conference. I don't know why that would interest you. He said, I just want to see what you do. And so he went with me, and he listened. And on our way back, he said, why did you choose me? And I said, well, I don't think it was about you, but it was the moment, and it was what God wanted me to do, and I knew it. And I was being obedient. You just happened to be the kid. I choose you. And he said, well, I choose you too. That's pretty great. Those are great words. So we're adopting him. He's 21 and we're adopting him. It'll be May if we can make it that long. We may do it sooner. And so it's real easy to adopt an adult. He's the only one that signs. So it's a pretty great thing. We didn't know that was going to happen in our life. But God had been teaching me about choosing. And I knew that very moment I needed to say, I choose you. And so now we've moved on to I love you. And the last one, the last one is to be included. It's different than being chosen, by the way, to be included. We desire to belong to a community. It reminds us that we're not alone. Now, to be chosen, for instance, you are chosen for a job. You get a special job. And then when you're in that job, you're not included in the meeting. You're not included in the hallway conversation. You're not included in the lunch run. See what I'm saying? It's different. And so look in your classroom. How do I include children? When we say, oh, we're not going to start yet. I want everybody to be here because I want to include them. You know, it's important that we all be on the same team, ready to go at the same time. And so inclusion is very important. It means we're connected with others. And the last blank there is to open up with kids and start connecting. Find things that you have in common with your children. For instance, how many people here like Diet Dr. Pepper? It's so good. It's so good. So we have a connection. How many here like the Oklahoma City Thunder? Okay, okay. And so, how many people like James Harden? Because I like Fear the Beard too. And so, anyway, we find things about our kids. We like the same color. We like the same animal. We like the same whatever game it is we're playing. See what I'm saying? When you say to a child, ooh, I like that too. That's one of my favorite ones. Isn't it great when we have this snack? Ugh, I look forward to this, just like you. Those connections make the child feel like they're connected to you because they know something about you. Teachers that you knew something about them, you felt closer to them than the ones you knew nothing about them. So I encourage you to try to make those inclusions as well. So just in review, to be heard and understood, to be affirmed, to be blessed, to be safe, to be touched, to be chosen, and to be included. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And let's just end with this. The Thunder won 116-108. That's all I got to say. All right. Thanks, y'all. You're dismissed. Oh, wait. I'm sorry, Brianna. I get to give away a card. Does anybody here want to win? Is that right?
Yeah. Can you give the paper and then I'll...
Okay. So I'll give you the paper and then she'll give you the card. So my question is, I wonder if there's more than one person. If there's more than one person, I'll have to choose a different thing. I'm wearing red socks. Is anybody else wearing red socks? No red socks? Oh, I was thinking more than one person would be able to do that. Okay, whose birthday is the closest to Christmas? November 30? December 16? December 8? What? December 21. Isn't she the closest? Yep. Here you go. Thank you very much. If y'all would like to have a book, Brianna can help you. There's a card swiper back there too. Thanks y'all for being here. Appreciate it. Awesome. Oh, so you just leave your stuff right where you're sitting?